Hi, everyone. Hope we can interrupt your enjoyment of football season for another Marquette basketball podcast. This is Scrambled Eggs. I am Joe McCann. Phil Bush is with us. We love college football as much as everyone else, Phil, but we really love talking college basketball. Can you believe we're just really about a month away now from Marquette Madness?
It is kind of crazy, and the year has flown by, and just as I got excited about football starting, now basketball's on the horizon, so my wife will never see me again for 6 months.
I think a lot of people say that way. A lot of people feel the same way, but I think most of them are comfortable with it, especially if their wives are, you know, Marquette basketball fans, and they're just excited as everyone else is.
That is true. And since we're season ticket holders, she gets dragged to the game, so she'll see me at the games. That'll be a positive.
You can bond there.
Yeah, we can have a date at the Marquette games. It'll be great.
That's sweet. Yeah. Well, hopefully today's podcast is sweet. What we're going to do, we're going to run through the schedule. It's been a while since our last one. Last one, we kind of broke down the roster heading into this season. So if you want to go back on the Cracked Sidewalks archives and check out that one, that's what we did in the previous one over the summer. Today, we're going to go through the schedule, kind of a knee-jerk reaction game by game now that the schedule is finally out. I mean, it kind of took long enough, didn't it?
Yeah, well, let's talk about how the Big East as an organization leaves a little bit to be desired right now.
They're still just, you know, still just moving into the offices. You know, they haven't decorated the office, painted the walls, or, you know, anything like that. They don't have
set
any fancy
name,
you know, fancy names on the doors or anything like that. Haven't, you know, got their forwarding address to the postal service or all that stuff. So hopefully they're kind of settling in. They finally have the schedule out, which people were kind of itching about for a while. So we'll finally go through the entire schedule again, just a knee-jerk reaction, win or loss, game by game. And then as time allows at the end, maybe we'll talk a little bit of recruiting and a few other items as well. Phil, you ready to go through the schedule?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm excited about it. And overall, I'm pretty pleased with the schedule in general. I don't see any big issues whatsoever.
Right, yeah, I think it's a solid schedule. Obviously, you know, a concern as we go into this new era of the Big East is that as much as we're excited about it, the conference is not as strong as it was, of course. You know, you don't have Syracuse and Louisville and Notre Dame and Pitt to really beef up your schedule so much that really your non-con doesn't have to be that tough. Now Marquette has to play a few more, a little tougher non-conference schedule. And I think they've done a pretty good job of having some exciting games there in November and December before we get to conference play.
Well, yeah, I think they've done a really good job. If you're looking at it as it from a perspective like a season ticket holder, there's a ton of value top to bottom. Obviously, there's the cupcakes in the beginning, but that's, you know, everybody does that. That's just college basketball. You're not gonna play
Duke every night.
Right. You're not gonna play a top 25 team every other night. You got to get your legs under you. But I think it's a solid schedule. You know, I like the fact I was nervous last year when we quote unquote were playing on the aircraft carrier that was the first game of the season against Ohio State. So we're still playing Ohio State, but
yeah,
I like that we have a couple of games under our belt before we get to that.
Right. And yeah, I like that too. Just having just a couple official games to hopefully get a couple wins under your belt before Marquette really kind of steps up and place some real legit opponents. And, you know, look, as I kind of went through the schedule the first time and kind of tried to calculate it, and I looked at the win total, like, man, boy, that's a lot of wins. So I tried to go through this with maybe some realism / pessimism and try to limit a few homer picks along the way. But we'll go through it and see what we have overall as far as win total and conference win total as we get to the Big East tournament in March. All right, ready to get going, Phil?
Yes, let's go.
Of course, the season begins with home games against Southern and Grambling on November 8th and 12th. Any reason to not say two wins there, Phil?
Nope. Automatic win.
All right. No reason to debate those any longer. Should be two wins there. Then it gets really exciting. We get Ohio State on a nice dry floor in the Bradley Center. How do you feel about the Ohio State game on November 16th?
I think with the returning talent, it's a W for Marquette. That sounds like a homer pick, but I just think Marquette's got seniors and leadership at all the right places for an early season clash like that.
Exciting thing about this game, it'll be the first college basketball game on Fox.
Oh, yes. And I have to say, I'll put in a positive word for Fox Sports. I've been pleased with their network so far.
Yeah, I do too, and I hope Fox Sports 1, you know, obviously they're trying to, as we get off topic slightly here, trying to create a presence in football. I'm excited to see what they do in basketball. Maybe a topic for another podcast, but hopefully they really build up the Big East as that time approaches. I have that game as a loss myself. Again, trying to approach it with a little pessimism. I think it'll be early, and just so early in the season, maybe Marquette trying to find that identity. Hate to see the home court winning streak end. Maybe it, hopefully it doesn't, but I have that one as a loss on my game by game. All right, then New Hampshire, any debate over that one as a win before we go to Arizona State on November 25th?
New Hampshire's a win for sure.
Mm-hmm. I have the same way. And then so road game at Arizona State. Phil, again, I'm kind of keeping with an idea. This is a first big road test of the season. I have this one as a loss, too, because I think you're inevitably going to have some freshman mistakes, first true road game, going out to, not West Coast, but to the Pacific time zone, I guess, to Arizona. So I have this one as a loss.
I have it as a loss as well. Some of similar reasons, but I actually think they get a little full of themselves coming off the Ohio State victory that I have them having. So I think this is kind of the one that brings them back to earth. Plus, we always have a kind of an early season clunker where everyone kind of goes, "What the heck was that?" Think UW Green Bay last year.
Right. Not that Arizona State is UW Green Bay. That should be a respectable team, I would think.
Oh, I agree it's a respectable team, but I think this is going to be one of those games where Marquette just makes a ton of mistakes, shoots themselves in both feet, and costs them the game.
All right, so after the Arizona State game, late November, this will be Thanksgiving time, actually, Cal State Fullerton. This is the Wooden Legacy Classic, formerly known as the 76 Classic, eight-team tournament. Cal State Fullerton is the first game. Now, the trap here, of course, is this game is actually going to be in Cal State Fullerton's gym. Technically, as the schedule says, it's a neutral floor, but that has me slightly worried that Marquette could have a stumble there, but I have at least the first game of the Wooden Legacy as a win.
I have it a win, too. I get what you're saying, but I kind of equate that to playing Chaminade in the tournament we always play in Hawaii, so I'm not that terribly worried about it being a home court for them.
Right. Now, not knowing who Marquette is playing in the next two games, the second game would be either George Washington or Miami, and then the final game, whether it's consolation, championship, whatever, would be either Charleston, San Diego State, possibly an out-of-conference conference game with Creighton, or a second game in a week with Arizona State. Without knowing who Marquette's playing, do you have two more wins, 1-1, two losses? How do you have the rest of the tournament?
I go 1-1. I think they get to the championship, but I think Creighton's sitting there waiting for us in the first taste, and I think we have some issues and we lose to them there.
I have two more wins myself. Again, this is maybe playing the homer optimist card. I'm saying after maybe losses to Ohio State and Arizona State, as far as I have them, maybe this is a chance to right the ship. Marquette's gets a little momentum going, two wins, and then gets a tough either Creighton or Arizona State in the final. And I'm going to say Marquette wins the Wooden Legacy. So I have them getting three wins there. Then the big one, of course, the big out-of-conference game, a game Marquette should play every year, and I hope they continue to, at Wisconsin. I hope they don't play at Wisconsin every year, but playing Wisconsin every year. This year it's in Madison at the Kohl Center. This will be Saturday, December 7th. How do you have this one, Phil?
I have it as a big win. A lot of Wisconsin lineage on the team with all the Milwaukee boys coming out of the roster this year. I think they're real fired up for that one, and I think Wisconsin's going to have a little difficulty getting on track in their non-con with a lot of youth they have.
Call it a homer pick if you want. I have Marquette winning at Wisconsin, too, just because, you know, it's Wisconsin.
And frankly, I couldn't live with my wife the rest of the season if Wisconsin beat Marquette.
So, well, we don't want that.
Right.
So after the Wisconsin game, two more games really not to spend too much time on. IUPUI, Ball State, hopefully two wins, correct?
Correct.
And then another exciting non-conference game. This one, neutral floor in Las Vegas. Marquette's going to play New Mexico. This is a game that will be on ESPNU, actually. Saturday, December 21st, so this will be actually the last game before Christmas break. How do you see the Vegas trip going?
I see the Vegas trip as a W. I think I would feel differently if Steve Alford was still at New Mexico, but I think New Mexico is going to have some early season issues, and we're going to come away with the W.
I agree with that as well, as I try to talk too fast and I trip over my own tongue. I think Marquette will hopefully maybe getting a little momentum at this point and will go get a nice neutral floor out of conference win in Vegas, and hopefully everyone stays out of trouble there and gets home safely. Then a win against Samford to close out non-conference play. I assume you have the same.
That is correct.
So if I do the math correctly, it looks like we both actually have Marquette 11-2 in non-conference play. We just have differing on where they have the second loss.
Yep, I have beating Ohio State. You have them losing, and you have winning the Wooden. I have losing the championship.
All right, so we both have Marquette as 11-2 heading into Big East play. Again, this is just a knee-jerk reaction as we go through the entire schedule. So now we're getting to the exciting part, the beginning of the new Big East, which is going to start with a big television event on Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1. Marquette, I think, is actually the last game of the whole thing when they're going to be at Creighton on New Year's Eve. First game in Big East play, Phil. How do you feel about the trip to Omaha?
This one, because there's talk in the circle of friends up here that we may actually be making the road trip. So I'm going to go with my personal hopes. I think it's a win, actually.
I'm going to go the other way and say a loss, just because it's a road game, conference play at the Fighting McDermotts. Road games, conference play are tough, and I think Creighton will be as tough as anyone in the conference, probably the preseason player of the year in the Big East and McDermott. So I have, unfortunately, starting Big East play with a loss.
Yeah, then, I just think Marquette always plays big that first game of the season, thinking, you know, that UConn game with Novak's 41 last year against Nova, they came out and won big. Big East season openers, they always seem to do well. But we'll see, right? That's why they play the games.
That's right. Then DePaul at home, hopefully a win.
This is a win, but we always make DePaul look way better than they actually are.
Absolutely. So DePaul probably makes a sweat, but I have it as a win as well. Then next road game will be January 9th at Xavier.
I have a win for this one. I know it's a road game, and we're on a heck of a streak here on my book, but I just don't think Xavier's that good right now.
Yeah, I actually have that one as a win. Then I also have another win at home the following week against Seton Hall.
I agree with that one as well.
All right, then probably the toughest part of the schedule in my mind, and I think you would probably agree, Phil, twice in a span of 3 days, Marquette goes to Butler and then to Georgetown. I think this two-game stretch will probably be a stretch that will determine whether Marquette is a top-three team in the Big East or the Big East champions. Butler, at Butler on the 18th, that's a Saturday, and then at Georgetown the following Monday. How do you see those two games?
This one's really tough for me. The at Butler, again, I would feel differently if... now I'm blanking on the coach's name.
Stevens.
Yeah, Stevens. If Brad Stevens was still at Butler, I would have definitely put this as a loss, especially given the way the NCAA tournament game went last year. I think he would have come back ready. I actually have at Butler as a win, but then I think turning around and traveling to Georgetown again. I know Georgetown's got some players out with injury already, but I think we go win loss in those two games.
You know, it's tough for me, too, for the same reason you said about Butler and Stevens. Will there be a drop-off in the program, or are they going to keep the momentum going? I think Butler will probably keep the momentum going and be a tough team. And even if they're not that quite as tough, I still think the trip to Hinkle the first time there is going to be tough. So I actually have this as two losses. So I think this will be the one part of the season where Marquette fans are a little anxious and a little nervous about where they're fitting in this league. So, unfortunately, I actually have this as back-to-back losses for Marquette, Butler, and Georgetown. Then, though, Phil, I hopefully have them getting back on track the next week, or later that week. That would be the 25th, which is a Saturday, at home against Villanova, and then Providence right after that. I have those as two wins.
I have those as two wins as well, though, again, I think Providence is one of those games where we make them look way better than they actually are because we have a mid-season clunker.
Then the next game on the schedule is one actually that was turned out to be a very exciting one. It was announced a few weeks ago that the game at St. John's in Madison Square Garden will be part of a big showcase doubleheader on Fox Sports leading into the Super Bowl. This will be on Fox. The game will be on Fox Sports 1, but at St. John's there'll be a part of the other game will be Georgetown in a non-conference game against Michigan State, but that's kind of irrelevant for our purposes. Exciting to be in this event, but how do you see the game itself, Phil, playing St. John's in New York?
This is the trouble I have. I am super enthusiastic about that game and playing in front of the Super Bowl, but my concern is St. John's is sneaky good. I think they were underrated last year, and they got a lot of talent coming back. I actually have this as a loss, unfortunately, in front of such a national audience.
I do too, and that's the thing. When I look through my picks so far, on some of the biggest games, showcase games, I have Marquette losing. I have Marquette losing this one, and I have Marquette losing to Ohio State, and I have Marquette losing at Creighton. Hopefully I'm wrong on all of them. But I think St. John's is so talented, and I think this is a year that they're kind of going to put it together and be a tournament team. And I think for them playing in the Garden in this big showcase, I have this as a loss as well. Next game, though, Butler then makes a trip to Milwaukee for the second go-around in conference play with Marquette. And unlike the first time around, I have Marquette getting a measure of revenge and beating Butler in this one.
Yep, I agree. I think they're better, but better. Wow! Apparently, we've got the babbles here.
We're just so excited about the season. We're talking fast.
I'm verklempt. Discuss how Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Butler, I have a win here.
Yeah, I have Butler's win. Next game is Marquette's back on the road at Seton Hall. Struggles on the road sometimes, but I do have a win at Seton Hall.
Yep, I agree with that. I also have a win against Xavier, and I actually have a prediction. By this point, by the time we get to this Xavier game, I think Dwayne Wilson is securely ensconced in the starting point guard role.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about that in the last podcast a little bit, that some point in Biggie's play that I think we'll be seeing Dwayne Wilson really emerging as a starting point guard. Yeah, I agree. I think by this point, hopefully he and maybe some other freshmen will really be hitting their strides. I have the Xavier game as a win as well. And then after that, what could be our third matchup with Creighton on the season, when Creighton comes to the Bradley Center.
I think we go 2-for-1 against Creighton, with the only loss being in the Wooden.
Okay. Yeah, I have a win as well against home against Creighton. I feel good about Marquette at home in conference play. Actually, I don't think I have, not spoiler alert, I don't think I have Marquette losing a home game in conference play. But yeah, I have them getting a win against Creighton there. And then the one that you look at the schedule and you hope it's a win, but you are never absolutely sure, Marquette at DePaul.
I actually think this year they blow them out, but yeah, this is the one that's always... It's a horror show down there at the Allstate.
Right. For inexplicable reasons, when Marquette goes to Chicago, it just brings out the worst in them. Maybe this year, coming off a big win over Creighton, hopefully this isn't a Valley game and a trap game at DePaul. Let's see, it's 3 days afterwards, so hopefully they regroup and don't have a letdown at DePaul. I have that as a win as well. Then another big opponent comes to Bradley Center, Georgetown. I have this one as a win, though.
Yeah, I do have Georgetown winning this as well.
You have Georgetown winning?
Or excuse me, I have us beating Georgetown.
Okay.
To revenge for the at Georgetown loss earlier in the season.
All right, and then after that, it is a road trip to Villanova.
I actually put this as the traditional loss that sends the Marquette fan base into a seeding apoplexy about the tournament, where all of a sudden we were a 2 seed and now we're a 15 seed lucky to get in.
Actually, I have that same way. I have a road loss at Villanova just because it's a tough place to play, and I can't have Marquette winning 15 games in a row.
Well, and we don't know if it's at the Pavilion or the Wachovia yet, right?
True. So, again, this is just a quick look at the schedule, and we'll, of course, break all these games individually as the podcast goes along, as the season goes along. But for this little game's purposes, I do have that as a loss. Then another road game, last road game in conference play, going to Providence.
I have this as a win.
I do too. I have that as a win, rebounding from a frustrating loss at Villanova, and then I have Marquette coming back to the Bradley Center for Senior Day, what will surely be an emotional Senior Day, because it will be we'll be saying goodbye to Jameel Wilson, Devontae Gardner, Chris Otule, and Jake Thomas. But I hopefully this Senior Day goes well and we get a win at St. John's, as I am predicting here.
I am also predicting a win, going out with a nice little bang. So,
all right, so doing some quick math here, I believe you have Marquette
15-3.
If you have 15-3, I have 13-5.
Okay.
So the question that remains, will 15-3 will probably be enough to be conference champions, I would think. I have a little more pessimistic 13-5, and that would have them at 24-7 overall. So you have them at 26-5 overall.
Yeah, 26-5. I think they do win the conference championship. I think with your prediction, if that were to be true, then I think Creighton's probably in the driver's seat.
Creighton or maybe Georgetown. Well, we'll see. But the thing is, you know, 13-15 wins, it seems like a lot compared to what we're used to. But again, this isn't your dad's Big East. I mean, this is a new league, a league that I think Marquette should be favored in. Like I said, when we were going through the schedule, that back-to-back with Butler and Georgetown will be when we be an early indication if this team is a conference title caliber team. If they go back-to-back and get two wins there, I'll be feeling really good and really confident that they're going to win the title. If they get a split, like you suggested, which probably, hopefully that's the way it goes. I went a little pessimistic on mine. If they get a split, I'll think they'll probably be in the mix all the way until the end, and it'll come down to the final weekend.
Yeah, well, and it's all going to depend. I mean, we aren't looking at the other teams that we're going against schedule and how theirs shake up. I don't know if Creighton's got a tough schedule or whatnot. But
yeah, it's something we really didn't take into account as we kind of zip through this thing, is people coming off back-to-backs. Are we, you know, the third straight road game? Is it a long road trip for someone or something like that? But so quick reaction, I have them at 24-7 overall, 13-5 in Big East play. Phil has them at 26-5 on the season, 15-3 in Big East play, heading into the Big East tournament, which will be certainly have a different look to it this year. And hopefully Marquette, can go into Madison Square Garden, have a good showing, and we'll see how things pan out with the tournament.
In terms of very, very early season predictions, do you have them going very far in the tournament?
That is so hard to say right now, just because a lot of that will depend on, one, Marquette's health when they get to the tournament, and two, what kind of contributions we're going to be getting from some of the unknowns. The freshmen, what Todd Mayo's going to look like. The standard has been set, though, as Buzz has said. He said before last year, and I'm guessing it's the same idea this year, that the Sweet 16's not good enough anymore, that they want to go farther than that. My gut feeling is that this will be at least a Sweet 16 caliber team again. It's funny when you say things like that, this is a Sweet 16 team, it's almost suggesting that they're one of the top 16 teams in the country. If you say they're an Elite 8 team, that means one of the top 8 teams in the country. That's not what it means. It means is, are they going to be good enough that they can find a way to get 4 or 5 wins, three or four wins in the tournament and get that far? And I think Marquette will be talented enough to, one, get in the tournament, and two, get 3 wins or so, 2-3 wins to get Sweet 16, Elite 8, and maybe put themselves in a position to get to a Final Four.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with it. I think this, you know, if you look top to bottom, this is going to be probably Marquette's one of its most talented teams. I mean, yeah, we lost Vander Blue, and he's a tremendous talent, but there's so much depth. There's actually going to be, at times, I think, depending on how the freshmen and the transfers in handle themselves, there's going to be issues where we may have difficulty finding playing time for everyone, which is always a positive thing to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. And, you know, maybe some of the freshmen don't have as much playing time as they would like, but that's part of being a freshman. You got to earn your minutes. I mean, Steve Taylor kind of experienced that last year, and I think a lot of people are expecting him to, see the floor a little more this year and in his second year in the program, and hopefully he does. And we'll see, again, how some of those young guys come along. And, you know, of course, like we talked about in the last podcast, Phil, the big interest for me is how that shooting guard position shakes out and who's going to be taking the lion's share of the minutes there, whether it's going to be Mayo or Juan Anderson or Juwan Johnson or someone else. Who knows?
Yeah, well, all eyes are going to be on Mayo because he's the only one with the experience at the position, and he's somewhat of a proven commodity, somewhat mercurial, but he's shown that he's done it before. So I think he gets the nod to start. But I think Juan Anderson is intriguing at that position, and we'll see. On a side note, happened to be in the same location as Steve Taylor, and as a chief member of the Free Steve Taylor program, I did notice he seems to have grown a couple of inches over the summer. So I'm not going to make any HGH allegations, but he's certainly gotten taller. I think he's taller than Gardner at this point. So that'll be interesting to see how that translates to his game, because he's much more of a face up three or four than he is a banger. But if he's legitimately 6'9", it'd be hard not to put him down there.
We'll have to see how he's listed in the media guide.
Yes, right. And is that with his shoes or not?
Right. As people really nitpick size, things like that. So that's our look at the season, the schedule. Glad it's out. Like we said before we ran through it all, I think it's a very good schedule. I like the mix of road games in non-conference play, quality opponents. I love that they're playing Ohio State. I like the road trip to Arizona State. Being in something like the Wooden Classic is a good thing. And the little wrinkle with New Mexico and Vegas, I think, is really good. And, of course, Wisconsin every year. I do hope, in the future, Marquette can add some non-conference rivalries that are renewed with some former Big East teams. Like, I'd love to see them play Notre Dame every year. I think it'd be cool to play Louisville every once in a while. But for this year, I really like what the staff has put together for the.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway for me is with the non-conference, it's a very strong non-conference, and I actually, I'm relatively positive in my prediction, but especially with the youth and depending on the health, I mean that could be a rough non-conference. We could face some crucial losses potentially at any given point. But what I do like, regardless of what the results are, is it's really preparing them for the conference season. I think, assuming right. we stay relatively healthy, regardless of what we do in the non-conference, we'll be very prepared to comport ourselves well in the conference season.
Right, and hopefully everyone else in the conference plays well out of conference, because that just looks better for the league.
Yes,
especially I think a lot of pressure is on Creighton, Butler, and Georgetown to get a lot of wins out of conference. Hopefully and St. John's, as we suggested, is hopefully they have a big move forward this year. And maybe Villanova, which has kind of been quiet the last couple of years, if they can take a step forward, and then some of those teams that maybe predicted at the bottom, like Xavier and Seton Hall and DePaul, if they can just hold their own, maybe be close to 500 on the year, and I think that would look really good for the conference.
Well, and I think what's nice this year, and it'll change over time because some pretty heated rivalries will develop, I'm sure. But in the non-conference, we can cheer for the other Big East teams without feeling dirty because we don't have a Pitt or a Louisville.
There's no team that or a Notre Dame, or there's like really no team that I don't think Marquette fans have a passionate hatred for overall at this point. But all it'll take is a couple really close games with a bitter finish that just, leaves you feeling really sick. And then that's how, rivalries will develop. And having a home and home with everyone in this first season, and maybe it'll stay this way for a few years, we'll see. The more you play these teams, especially if we end up playing Creighton four times this year, I mean, I think that'll build a rivalry.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and it's a natural opportunity for a rivalry and all those things. I think, there's some concern about the Big East going forward long term. Can it continue to be a power conference? But I think if everybody has a really strong first year, people are going to have to take notice and pay attention, and that'll keep the ball rolling for everyone. As they say, rising tide raises all boats. So,
agreed. So we'll see how it goes, and good luck to the Big East. And again, we'll break it down more game by game as the season approaches. As we shift gears here, maybe we'll talk about some things that have happened over the summer. Marquette has actually gotten a couple of commits as we kind of talk recruiting here a little bit. I don't know too much about these guys, so we're not going to get too in-depth as recruiting, but just want to go over it a little bit. Marquette does have a couple guys who are verbally committed to the program. Sandy Cohen, a 6'5 guard out of Wisconsin, is committed to Marquette for 2014, as is small forward Malik Harris, who's a 6'7. Like I said, power forward, small forward. He is from Illinois. So two guys on the board already. Marquette has four available scholarships as it stands right now. Phil, if you're like me, I want to see if you think the way I do as far as recruiting goes, at least for this year. When you see that a commit has committed to Marquette and you don't know anything about him, and you look up something about him, try to find out some facts about this commitment, what's one of the first things you want to find out about him?
I generally want to find out what the other schools that are interested in them. It gives me some sort of rational, if they're being recruited by directional Dakota State,
right,
alone, then it, you know, I don't always feel as good about it as some others might.
Yeah, well, for me, the first thing I look at right now is how tall is he?
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing I'm a little concerned about. You know, I know, you shouldn't really analyze positions because, you know, guys maybe, you know, might transfer in and get a JUCO commitment. And, you know, the staff, I'm sure, is comfortable with what they're doing. But I guess I am a little anxious looking at next year and not seeing really anybody over 6'8 on the roster.
Yeah. I get the concern. I also think we've been there before.
Right, we have.
You know, we were playing Lazar, who speaking of wearing his shoes, was probably listed as 6'7 and was lucky to be 6'5.
Right.
And we were playing him at center for a while. So we've been there. But I also think Buzz has a track record to two things: under the radar recruitment and taking people that you're kind of like, what, is this really going to work? And turning them into something. I mean, if you really... God love the guy. I love Chris Otule. He's been a fantastic ambassador for Marquette program. But the fact that he has one eye and he's a legitimate starting center in the Big East and has potential to really do some damage this his final season, especially given all his injury history, a lot of that's got to go to the coaching staff and being able to turn that talent into something. So right. I think if they just need to find somebody and they can turn it into something.
Yeah, I'm not, like, overly concerned, really, because Marquette has two pretty solid commitments. I mean, Cohen and Harris are both consensus top 100 guys. I don't get too worked up about it, because if Buzz thinks they're good enough, I think as long as they listen to the coaches and take coaching well, I think they'll be just fine and hopefully turn into nice players. Marquette's still chasing a couple of two guards for next year. Ahmad Hill is the guy they're really after. He's a shooting guard from Augusta, Georgia. And a familiar name here, Sam Cassell Jr., who is a junior college guy right now. He's a former Maryland commit, didn't qualify there. Now he's junior college, going to get qualified and going to have 3 years of eligibility left. Apparently, they both have Marquette in their final three or five or so. So they're still chasing wing players, and I'm fine with still chasing guards, especially if they're guys that, you know, Buzz really, really likes and thinks he can really contribute. Doesn't matter if rivals or websites or whatever have them outside the top 100 or in the top 100 or not top 50. If Buzz thinks they're guys that can help, bring them on in. Bring on as many as you can. I would love to see one guy over 6'10.
I agree. I mean, we've got two slots left. We don't need point guards for next year. We're set there. We've got Derek, Dwayne, you know, we've got the Wilsons not related. And then we have John Dawson,
right,
however that works out. So theoretically, we're good at point guard for next season anyway. So that doesn't need to be a focus. I would love to see for sure one. You could even potentially, I really think you need two centers on the roster at all times, if nothing else, just to practice them against each other.
Right.
I think that's been part of the reason Devonte and Otule have developed as well as they have, is they have to go against each other every day in practice. So I think, but you know, you got options. You got McKay, you got Taylor. So I think one for sure. And, you know, Buzz has shown, whether you like it or not, has shown a desire to go out and just keep recruiting. And then he figures it out at the end. If he ends up with an overcommit, whether you like it or not, sometimes that's the reality in college basketball this day and age, because you have players that choose to transfer, can't play, medically injured, all sorts of reasons. So I don't think, you know, even if Buzz were to get two center commits tomorrow, I don't think he's going to shut down the recruiting trail at all.
No, absolutely
for
next
season.
You always keep recruiting, because you can never have too many good players. And then, as they say, those things work themselves out.
Right.
So we'll see who. One more. Did want to touch really quickly. Marquette also has a 2015 commit, Nick Niskoviak. He's a guard from Wisconsin. So they have another guard coming in for 2015 who basically will slide into the same spot that will be left vacant when Derek Wilson graduates. And then the interesting thing that came up this summer, Marquette got a commitment from a young man who has not even played a game of high school basketball yet. Philip Flory, he's a point guard from Wisconsin Rapids. His dad, Mike, actually played 2 years at Marquette in the late 80s. I'm not asking you to break him down, Phil, because obviously we really know nothing about him.
His name's fantastic, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, you know, Philip, and he's from Wisconsin, so yeah. That's terrific. But I guess, what's your take on a eighth grader, freshman in high school, I guess he is now, committing this far out?
Well, I mean, the verbal commitments are even less binding than the letter commits. I mean, players can get out of those too if they need to all the time. And so I guess this is, to me, this is much ado about nothing, because there's all sorts of opportunities for both he and Marquette to get out of it at any given time. So I think it's interesting. It's kind of surprising. I didn't expect something like this. This seems much more like a Tom Crean maneuver, but I mean, you get on him early, I guess.
My thing is, I think it's kind of exciting that someone, the guys over at Pain Touch just kind of touched on this when he committed. I think it's exciting that now kids in Wisconsin are growing up, and like basically their whole lives, Marquette has been a really good program. Because Marquette was kind of middle of the road, you know, NIT team or worse, you know, in the late 90s. But, you know, sitting in this new era of Marquette basketball that kind of started with Crean and is now carried on with Buzz, a guy like Flory, who was, I guess, 4 years old when Marquette went to the Final Four, basically his whole life, as long as he's been paying attention to basketball, Marquette's been really good. And I think it's exciting that guys are now growing up, especially kids in Wisconsin, recognizing the Marquette name and being excited about the program. Maybe this kid's a little different because his dad went to Marquette and he's probably been to a ton of games and he's always just been really close to the program. And I hope he is, you know, Jason Kidd or Chris Paul or who else, you know, I hope he's really good. But as you said, it's nothing to get too excited about one way or the other, because a lot can change with him or Marquette over the next 4 years, but the fact that he's excited enough about the program that he's locked in right now, or locked in being a very, I'm using that term very loosely, that he is planning on going to Marquette right now, I think it's exciting. And if he continues to blow up on the AAU circuit over the next 3 or 4 years, maybe he brings another 4 or 5 star commitment with him when the time comes. So I think it's exciting, but I'm not, you know, throwing parades in the street, because I really know nothing about the kid, and we'll see, you know, what he is 4 years from now.
Yeah, well, and it is exciting. I agree with you. I mean, especially, you know, to take this to a meta level, especially in this day and age with all the corruption and the college football is a, you know, it's amateur, but it's professional, people taking payments. The fact that this kid is kind of going with his, what it sounds like, his dream program, he's committed, he's saying, that's where I want to go because I love the game and I love the school and all of that. I mean, that's kind of the, we'll call it naivety or idealism of college sports. That's kind of what you're looking for. So, you know, I want to encourage this, and it's fantastic that a kid kind of knows what he wants. So we'll see. I don't think there's any downside.
No, there's no downside to it. Cause like you said, if he turns out to, maybe not be as good of a player in 3 or 4 years, there's nothing binding, but, obviously Buzz thinks highly enough of him now that he thinks he will be a very good player in 4 years, and if so then he's got a verbal commitment from him, so that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
One last thing I did want to touch on briefly, if you listen to our last podcast, first of all, it really hurts my feelings, but we played a little game in the last one called More Likely or Less Likely Than Vanderblue to Make an NBA Roster. Basically, we were kind of breaking down the NBA draft, and we broke down some players in the draft and also some former Marquette players about whether or not they were going to make an NBA roster this year. And oddly enough, two guys that we didn't even mention in that little game are on NBA rosters as we speak, Dwight Bikes and Trent Lockett. So congratulations and well done to both of them. Bikes signed a deal with the Raptors, and he will be in camp with them. And Trent Lockett, which was kind of really surprising news and really happy for him, but good for him. He's going to be with the Kings.
Yeah, I was completely shocked to hear the Lockett news. I mean, it's fantastic. I love him, but of all the players on that roster this past season, Lockett was not the one I was expecting to go on there. I mean, he did great things for us, but hey,
yeah, I just like, you know, any write-up with any publication breaking down guys going to, you know, summer league, Vegas summer league or something like that, like most people assumed, hey, good for Trent Lockett, he's getting a little opportunity to play in the NBA before, I guess, maybe he'll go to Europe or do whatever else he wants to do with his life. And all of a sudden, holy cow, Trent Lockett's got an NBA contract.
I guess it just goes to show you that we know absolutely nothing about basketball, that we were completely shocked by this, but no, it'll be good. I mean, It again, you got to look at the recruiting aspect of this and say, hey, listen, if, you know, yes, Trent Lockett had a lot of experience at Arizona State, and I'm sure they did positive, good things for him. But, you know, you got to look at at what Buzz has done and say to recruits, hey, listen, you want a shot at the NBA? I think we got a really good shot with Buzz. I mean, he's got a proven track record of taking you there, so why wouldn't you want to go there?
Yeah, it's great for the program. They keep, you know, the MU Athletics, or maybe the Marquette Basketball Twitter feed, they keep posting updates that I've seen as they continue to display Marquette alums who are in the NBA, and they keep adding them on there. I mean, they've added, you know, murals with Wes Matthews and Jay Crowder, and he's up there now, and Jimmy Butler, who had a great season last year for the Bulls. I think he could be in line for maybe a really, real breakthrough season this coming year. And now you got Bikes and Lockett. We'll see if they, you know, end up on the final roster when the final cuts are made, or if they're in the D-League or whatever, but the fact that they have contracts right now is great. And, you know, I'm still holding out hope and pulling for Vander Blue, you know, despite the fact that, you know, I thought maybe he jumped the gun going to the NBA. I'm not rooting against him as far as getting to the NBA. And last check, he was going to have a workout with the Heat. Maybe that works out for him. Maybe he goes to a camp somewhere. But I don't know what to think about that. You know, we're here in September now, and it's really been kind of quiet on the Vander Blue front as far as where he's going to be next year.
Yeah, well, and it was actually. I don't know that this has any relevance whatsoever, but he was on. I did see him with my own two eyes on campus. I was heading. I'm in grad school at Marquette, and happened to see him walking along with Juan Anderson. So I don't know if.
Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that he's eligible for this year.
Yeah. What it doesn't mean is he wasn't at some place for the NBA that particular day. Having said that, I mean. Look at the Dwight Bikes thing. I mean, Bikes went to Europe for a couple of years and now has a contract. And I would make the argument that that Vander's got more talent, you know, than Dwight Bikes does. And that's not a knock on Bikes, but Vander's got a lot of more potential and ability than I thought Bikes does. So. Vander can still make the league at any given time.
Yeah. And Jerome McNeil took an interesting road to the NBA as well. I mean, he went to Europe for a few years. He actually had some issues over there. I was kicked off a team. You know, he got back on another I lost track of kind of all the places he was. But then he was in the D-League for a few years, was a D-League All-Star, and did really well. And as it stands now, he'll be in camp with the Jazz, I believe, was the last update. I'm pretty sure he's still on the roster. Like, the Jazz have his rights for another year because they signed him to two 10-day contracts at the end of last year. So hopefully McNeil makes a roster in the league as well, hopefully with the Jazz. But, you know, pulling for Vander Blue with this thing with the Heat, I don't know if it's a situation with, you know, because when I read the article, it said the Heat have 13 players under contract. They might just stick with 13 players on their roster. But then they went out and signed Michael Beasley, which was interesting. I don't know if this Blue tryout is maybe kind of Dwayne Wade throwing him a bone, because I think Wade is probably in a situation now in Miami where he could go to Pat Riley and say, hey, if we're going to have a tryout, can we bring, you know, my guy from Marquette in here? You know, he's worked real hard, kind of looks up to me, and, you know, we've been kind of talking as he's going through this whole process. Could you at least give him a workout? I don't know if that's the situation or if the Heat have legitimate, honest interest in helping him or in bringing him in and making him a part of their team next year. We'll see. I hope Blue makes some kind of roster here in the United States. I'd love to see him on an NBA roster. Maybe he goes the D-League route. I think at this point, D-League or Europe is probably most likely for Vander. Again, like I said, I'm not rooting against him. I wish he would have come back to Marquette for one more year. But, I mean, I guess this is just where he is.
Right. Yep. And we can, you know, we'll have to wait 10 years to draw a conclusion. I'd still make the argument.
Oh, I'm waiting 10 months.
Okay, fine. 10 months. We'll call it a done deal. I don't know that he necessarily would have improved his stock any if he had stayed an extra year. But having said that, you know, he's doing it as a professional. I really sincerely hope he comes back, gets his degree, and is also successful out in the league. I think he's got the talent to get there. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Hopefully
I think there's something to be said, though, having that senior experience, and I think Trent Lockett is a shining example
of
that. And I'll wrap up today with this little bold prediction for next year. Marquette will have at least one player drafted next year.
I agree with that.
Either Jameel Wilson or Devontae Gardner, or both, will be drafted next year.
I agree with both of those that prediction, and we'll see if anyone else blows up on the team.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's all going to depend on what the season is, and that's why you go. That's why you never stop recruiting. If you have someone that has a really great year and decides to leave, you better make sure that you got some players out there that you can bring in to replace them.
Yeah, if Marquette had stopped recruiting when their scholarship allotment was full, they wouldn't have Juwan Johnson right now, because he was a situation where they oversigned. And then spots opened up when Ferguson transferred and Blue went pro, and there was suddenly a spot for him. I mean, there's tons of examples of that through college basketball, but you never stop recruiting.
Yeah, welcome to Jake Thomas is a four-year scholarship.
Good for Jake Thomas. Hey,
exactly.
You know, he came to Marquette as a walk-on, and he's going to end up with 3 years of free Marquette education, so good for him. We appreciate everybody listening. Again, check us out on Crack Sidewalks. That's where the blogs are posted. You can look through some of the past ones on there. You can also hit us up on Twitter if you have questions, comments, or you think we're both just really dumb. I am Joe McCann 3 on Twitter. Phil is MOOOF23 on Twitter. Phil, final thoughts as we wrap up recruiting, schedule, NBA, other thoughts for today?
Nothing really. Just looking forward to the season. I will be going to Midnight Madness and hoping like heck no one gets injured, so we'll see what comes out of that. But just ready to get the season going and see what we really have for talent on the team.
Yeah, the podcast will be coming more frequently as the season approaches, and then once the season gets started, we will hopefully do them every week, or whenever we feel like it. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Scrambled Eggs. For Phil Bush, I am Joe McCann, and seashells and balloons, everyone.